We have been looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and we didn't cover the last passages, and I felt to cover them. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And our subject today is the two builders, the wise builder, the foolish builder. He that hears the sayings of God and does them is like a wise man. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, the Bible says, I will liken him to a foolish man. And at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever, the sermon preached by the greatest preacher that ever walked this earth, Jesus Christ himself, these are the very words of life that he's preaching. They are anointed words. And shouldn't it be our prayer and our desire to say, oh Lord, let me hear, let me understand these marvelous things that you have done and taught for our souls? Shouldn't we say, I will hear what the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people. You know, friends, the great danger is that we all do have ears. We all hear, but the danger is we may not do what we hear. We may be like this foolish builder who heard but did not do. Both of them heard clearly, and there's a difference between these two hearers. And the Lord concludes this Sermon on the Mount, and the scripture says the people were astonished. They were amazed at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes and the Pharisees. And I want to encourage you to be amazed at this sermon. If you haven't read it through, it's chapter 5 to chapter 7. Just read it through and you will be amazed at this wonderful Sermon on the Mount. We should spend time in our daily devotions just looking at these amazing words once again. And not only looking at them, pray, how can I apply these to my life? How can I make these mine? How can I be not a hearer only, but a doer of God's word? So isn't this what, when we go back a bit to Matthew 21, isn't this what God is saying in essence? To be hearers, to be a hearer, that Christianity is more than just saying. More than just saying, Lord, Lord. The scripture says that not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And we saw last week what a shock that these Jews must have had. They thought they were already in. They said, we are the children of Abraham, direct descendants. Of course we are in. What do you mean we might not be in? And Jesus, in this verse, these people say, we preached in your name. We cast out devils in your name. We did many great things in your name. And we did them for you. And Jesus will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who act wickedly. So these are lawless rebels who disregard God's commands. They're not interested in what God's word says. And if Christ doesn't know us, if Christ doesn't know them, it doesn't matter what they do. The most important thing is to be known by Christ. Now, the opposite of these that reject are the blessed ones. But blessed are those who do know him. Blessed are those who walk in the countenance and the light and the knowledge of Scripture. The Bible says that this is eternal life, that they may know him, that they may know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So this little test, and we see it in John 4 and verse 6, it's a test to see if we know him. And we should test ourselves from time to time. The scripture says, he who knows God hears us. He who does not hear us is not of God. Now take it a step further. He's speaking as an apostle, but those that know the word of God and trust the word of God are of God. Those that disregard and throw aside the word of God, that deny the word of God, that scorn the word of God, that don't listen to the word of God, how can they be God's children? Really, they say, well, he's my shepherd. Well, why don't you follow him then? If he is your shepherd, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. They obey me. They do what I say. So you see, if we hear God's word and do it, it is evidence. It's proof that we are one of his real sheep, that we are born again and taught of God, and that he goes before us and we follow him. We know his voice. Do you know his voice? Do you follow him? This is what it's about. Do you know him? Let me give you another sure test. This is a simple one. And it is found in 1 John again, 1 John 4 and verse 8. And the question is this: do we love our brothers? Do we love God? He who does not love does not know God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Well, we must examine ourselves. Is there love seen in my life? Am I walking in the light, or am I still in darkness? Am I doing things that are evidence of Christian fruit, or is my fruit more like the fruit of the world? Let's move on. This is why I felt today to explain the message of salvation so clearly, the gospel so clearly, so that we can have a solid foundation in life. And so that we can know him, so that we can walk with him. And it's done in compassion. It's done in kindness. Listen, if I went to a doctor and I said, doctor, I'm very worried. I've got this pain. And the doctor said to me, don't worry. It will be all right. Just go home and relax. Take it easy. And I went home and it was a fatal sickness. I would rather the doctor tell me, this is what is wrong with you. You've got a very bad disease, but there is a cure for this disease. We are going to administer the cure and you will recover. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear that there's an answer, that yes, I'm sick. It's not kindness to tell me that I'm not sick. It's not kindness to tell me, just go home and relax. It is kindness to tell me my condition and offer me the medicine. And this is what we are going to do today. Our disease of sin and depravity of our hearts, Jesus Christ is the medicine. He is the balm of Gilead. He is the one, the sure cure to man's most fatal disease. So let's move on and begin with verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, and what? And does them, I will liken to a wise man who built his house on the rock. So this is not just a suggestion. If you'd like to, you can build on the rock. No, it is the very foundation of our life. Woe is the man who does not build on the rock. He who hears these sayings, this implies willingly hears and willingly applies and does them. That's the wise man. He willingly heeds the word of God. So this parable about the wise and the foolish, there are so many in Christ's day, the Jewish people in Christ's day, they love to hear the word of God. They came, the Pharisees heard, and they always came to hear, sometimes to find fault, but they came to hear, and they didn't do what they heard. They just questioned what they heard. Well, what does it mean to hear? It means to attend to. It means to consider. It means to heed what has been said, to act upon it, to act on what has been said. You know, I recall when I was growing up, my father had a garage, a big garage with lots of woodwork machines in the garage and some metalwork machines. And as a child, I was fascinated by all these machines. I'd switch on one machine and I would see the blue sparks inside the electric motor. And I thought to myself, my dad has hidden the matches away. And I know where I can get fire if I need fire. So I found a packet of welding rods. And as a child, I thought that welding rod was a sparkler. You know those little decorations you put on a cake? And I thought, if I can light this, I know what I will do. I will put it in the electric motor, on the blue fire, and it will light. And my father saw me, and he warned me. He said, son, don't do that. It's very dangerous. I said, yes, daddy, yes. He said, have you heard me? I said, yes, yes, yes. But I was just waiting for him to go out. The moment he went out, I stuck that welding rod in the electric motor. Now, it happened when I was very young. I don't remember exactly what happened, but I think I got a very bad electric shock. And I remember running into the house screaming, and that's about all I remember. But I hadn't heard my father. If I had heard him, I would have heeded him and not done what he told me not to do. And it's the same with spiritual things. Sometimes we say we hear. Yes, I hear. But do we do? Do we do? Do we act on what we've heard? And you see, when the Lord Jesus Christ said, he that heareth, he meant he that attends to my words, he that considers what has been said. The wise considers and the wise does. But more than that, the wise builds their house upon the strong foundation. The wise hear gladly, and they're quick to obey. Quick to obey. Quick to do. And they know the truth. And we who are walking with the Lord, there's one thing we understand, that God's word is wisdom, and understanding God's word is more precious and better than rubies, better than anything that can be desired, the wisdom and the knowledge that we get from God's word, wisdom that comes from knowing the scriptures. There's such a direction in life for them that know the scriptures. The apostle said to Timothy, he said, Timothy, from childhood you have known and you have heard the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise. When we hear and know the holy scriptures, they make us wise. But it's not just hearing in one ear, out the other. It is acting on what we hear. That's what a wise man does. He acts on that which he hears. You see, the Holy Spirit opens our eyes and gives us the understanding. You see, we spiritual things are perceived by the illumination of the Holy Spirit. When he breathes life and shines upon the pages of his word, and it warms our heart. Oh, there comes a knowing. There comes a warmth in our heart. I think when that happens, nobody says, I'm not going to act on that. No, there comes a desire. I must act on that. I want to act on that. And I'm not going to delay. I will do it quickly. I will do it speedily. I will not. No one's twisting my arm to do it. I want to do it. I see it. And I must do it. And this is what we must be like. We must be like ones that, as the Holy Spirit shows us, there comes this desire in our hearts to do that which we hear, to act on that which we hear, to receive that which we hear. Sometimes what we hear is opposed to natural reasoning and thinking, but we trust that God's word is higher than our ways, more precious than our ways. So the Bible says the one who acts like this is a wise man. He builds his house on the rock, and he will not be shaken. But the foolish man is a picture of one who hears and does not believe the gospel. He doesn't act upon it. And it's a picture of a house that is built very well, built very quickly, and but it's a house that collapses. It's a house that has a great fall. You see, a small house won't have a great fall. This must have been a big house because the fall was very great. And such loss, there was such loss that was sustained. And this is a picture of all mankind. We are all included in this parable. Every one of us who has come here today, many of us will know this parable. We've heard it even in Sunday school when we were little. But let us not allow familiarity to stop us receiving what the Lord has for us. God's word is always full of a truth that can be applied to our hearts. The message is for all of us, whether we are young or whether we are old. Friends, there's only two groups of people, wise and foolish, hearers and doers, those who build on the rock and those who build on the sand, those that end up in paradise and those that end up in prison. Which one of these people are we? Which builder are we like? If we had to examine our life, which one are we more like Let us examine our own lives. Let us see some of the characteristics of this man who built on the sand. So the man who built on the sand, he's wise in his own eyes. He thinks he's very clever. He saved a lot of money by building on the sand. He doesn't have to hire fundis to dig deep, deep, deep down to Marum and make a foundation. He looks at the sand. He says, I only need to go down a little bit. 6 inches will be enough. This is fine ground. This is good ground. And there are no floods here. I've never seen a flood. Yes, people, there's rumors of floods, but I've not seen a flood in my lifetime. Never seen one. There's never been one, even from before I was born. Won't happen. It won't happen in my lifetime. Maybe when I'm dead and gone, but then I won't care. Let me build my house. And to his eyes, to be fair, it must have looked firm enough. It must have looked pretty okay. And maybe an experienced Mzee Fundi would have come and said, no, 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 deeper. You need to go deeper. But do you know, he wasn't going to listen, even if a very experienced Fundi came. Pride had blinded him, and he didn't think about going deep. He said to himself, if I can save this money on the foundation, I can build my house very big, very grand. I can put in the best furnishings. And indeed, his house did go up a lot quicker than the other man's house. And it was very grand. And people talked about the house, how wonderful it was, how big it was, how quickly it went up. And look, it stands. And it seemed, it was such a success story. And when you look at the house from the outside, it looked fantastic. It was very impressive. But there was nothing under the surface. There was no foundation. It looked like he had got away with it. It looked like he did the right thing. But do you know, it's only a matter of time before he starts noticing a crack in the wall. Oh no, he says, a crack, let me fix it. The next day, he tries to open the window, and the window won't open. The house is sinking, sinking, sinking. The windows are jammed. Soon the doors are touching the ground. They can't open anymore. Oh no, he says, what's wrong? I'll call a fundi. He will shave the door and everything will be okay. And he thought he'd got away with it. He said, it's all right, it's all right. But there came that flood, that one flood which he was hoping would never come. And it was the final test that comes to all. Oh, this test, oh friend, it comes to all. It comes, it's a picture of the final test in life, death. It is appointed to every man once to die, and thereafter the judgment. And you can't avoid this flood. It's coming. You can't avoid it. You can't postpone it. You can't put it off. It's coming. And the Lord Jesus Christ is giving a solemn warning and saying, don't build your life on sinking sand. Build your life upon the rock. This man, he didn't think it would come. And nor does the stubborn, carnal, worldly man. He refuses to listen. He says, no, no, I don't need to listen to the gospel. I don't even like the gospel. You speak about repentance. I'm not a sinner. I'm a good man. I don't need to repent. You say that I need help. Look at my house. Does it look like I need help? This is the biggest house in the whole town. No, 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 I don't need help. But let me tell you, we all need that help in that final day when the floods will arise, when the rains will come, when the wind will beat upon the house. Oh, you see, this man wasn't going to repent. He said, why should I believe in a God? I can't even see. I can't even see. And you tell me to believe in him. I see no danger, he says. No danger. That's why he doesn't need a redeemer. He sees no danger. He sees no vileness of his own sinful heart. That's why he doesn't need somebody to forgive him and cleanse him and wash him and pardon his sins. He says, I have no wound. I need no cure. So he continues life ignoring the gospel. That's the foolish man. The gospel goes forth. He hears, but he doesn't act. And now, at the end of life, you see, the longer you delay, the longer you delay your repentance, the more strength sin gets in your life. The more strengthened it gets in your life. And if you can't even bend the twig of sin, how will you bend the tree when it's fully grown? No, hear the word of God now. Bend the twig now. You know, the house withstood the first rains, and it looked like it got away with it. Some live very well. They never receive the Lord. They never listen to the word of God, but they appear to be doing well. But trouble comes in life. Life is full of storms and maybe relationship problems. Very painful. Very painful when loved ones turn against you and there's fighting in families. Or another storm. Maybe the man loses all his money and he's got nothing. Everything's gone. He's the pauper. Or another storm. Maybe sickness comes to him. He thought he was healthy. He thought he would continue forever and ever. But sickness comes to him and he's laid very low. The foolish man, he doesn't believe in God. He doesn't have a God that he can call upon for divine help. He doesn't have somebody that he can say, oh Lord, rescue me. No one from on high to call upon. Besides, he's overconfident. He says, I can solve this. I'm a strong man. I'll get through this. I'll make a way. I won't give up. And maybe he makes some sort of progress. But there is one storm that no man can make any progress against. And that is the final storm of life. Oh, what will you say when you stand before the one who has flames, eyes as flames of fire, and he says to you, I died at Calvary for you, but you didn't receive. You were not interested. What will you do? In fact, he won't even have to say it. You will hang your head in shame. You will know that this is my Savior who died for me. And I've been such a fool. I rejected him. I didn't want him. But I wished I had received him. But it will be too late then. Too late. Oh, receive him now while there's still time. Bow your knee now while there's still time. Call upon his name in the land of the living and you shall be saved. Yes, you may be able to live without the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. Somehow you may make a way. But let me tell you, it's another thing altogether to die without the Lord Jesus Christ and to come to the judgment without the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the young one says, oh, what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm young. I don't need to worry about the final storm in life. I'm just a young person. I got my whole life before me. It's a long way off. Well, we don't know the date. We don't know the hour. We don't know the second when we will die. But God knows. Remember, says the scripture, remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is cut. And then dust will return to dust, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Are you ready to stand before the judge of the earth? Are you ready? The foolish one has lost everything. Everything, nothing of his grand house can he take with to heaven. Besides, he has no right to enter heaven. He has not been forgiven by God. He's lost everything. It is vanity of vanities. Oh, what a mistake that he has made. While the wise man, he realizes he needs God. He realizes he needs mercy. He realizes he needs forgiveness. And he asks God, "Will you receive me?" And God's answer is wonderful. "He who comes to me, I will in no wise refuse. The one who comes to me, I will not cast out." You see, I want to comment on this. This wise man's digging to get to Murrum for the foundation. Digging didn't save him. No, repentance doesn't save you, but being founded upon the rock is what saved him. He was founded upon the rock. He built upon the rock. So this wise man, he is secure, not because he repented. He is secure because he built upon the rock. And you see, you can't build on the rock unless you dig deep. And you can't come to the Lord unless you turn to him. So there has to be a digging, but it's not the digging that saves. It's the Lord who saves. When people look at us, when they look at you, when they talk of you, do they say, "That sister, that brother, I see depth in their life. I see something. There's some real depth in their life. Their life is built upon the eternal promises. They believe God. They've built their life upon the rock of Jesus Christ." Do we have that relationship with the Lord? Are we a person of prayer? Do we receive strength from the Lord? Do we trust him? Are we a friend of God? Do we know God? Do we have these things in our life? Oh, people, don't let it be said of you, "Oh, that one, he claims to be a Christian. She claims to be a Christian, but they're just shallow, shallow, shallow." Just scratch them a little bit and you'll see the veneer is very thin. Underneath is their true colors. They're not Christians. They react so badly. There's no spiritual side to them. Don't let people say that of us. Don't let people say their soul is dead. They're not in communion with God. Friends, come to him in prayer. Come to him admitting that you are lost. Don't be like the foolish man who built upon the sand. Be like the wise man who built his house upon the rock, who built his house upon the solid foundation. If you want to be forgiven of your sin, if you want your sin pardoned, it's only Christ's infinite love and mercy that must pardon it. If you want to be reconciled to God, it's only Christ's infinite merit. He must do it. You can't save yourself. You need a Savior. If you want your heart changed, It's only Christ's infinite power that can take out the old, stony, cold, corrupt heart and give you a new heart. Oh, if you want to escape hell, if you want to escape that place of torment and be saved in the end, it is only Christ who is the Savior. Build your house, friend, upon the rock. Let us close in prayer. Father, we come to you asking for your divine help. Oh Lord, those that have no depth to their life, those that are shallow, those that are empty, those that have never called upon you, Lord, help them today to start afresh. Help them today to bow their knee to you, O Lord, their heart to you. O Lord, let them be born again. Draw many, O Lord. Put hope and trust in our hearts, we pray and ask. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.